ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our guest is Rob Terlinks, a digital product designer and co-founder of SaaSResources.com, and we're going to talk about SaaS pricing pages today and doing design for them. This episode is brought to you by userlist.io. This new tool helps SaaS founders get a better understanding of each individual user journey and send users relevant behavior-based email. To learn more, join the waiting list at userlist.io. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Jane.
Thank you so much for making your time for us today.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get started, we would love to learn more but about yourself, or what you do and how you got started, and a little bit of your background story.
Okay, sure. I'm a product designer, and I mainly work with B2B SaaS companies, and I help them to retain more customers, decrease churn, by improving the usability of their web application, making the experience better for their customers. Many of my tasks evolve from optimizing onboarding user screens, redoing the informational structure, visual design work. And alongside my work in web app design, I'm also often hired to design or redesign marketing sites of my clients. And this includes a bit of content strategy, doing wireframes, visual design, UI, and sometimes front-end implementation as well.
Yes, when, as web application designers, it's really hard for us to turn down the offers to do marketing websites, because it's so obvious to just carry on your product knowledge into the marketing website, right?
Yes. And I know from a marketing perspective, I better focus on one thing, I believe, but I love doing both. And I love the shift in doing web app and then doing marketing side as well, and seeing the evolution in their product and helping them to convert more users. So I love doing both at the moment.
Yes, it's one of those things that I actually don't follow my advice either. So I do say yes to such gigs, even though I know like I should be working on web application internals. But yeah.
Exactly.
So for SaaS pricing, I think there are two aspects, and one of them is like how exactly much I should charge for my product, and that one we're not going to talk about today. But we're going to talk about the actual layout of the pricing page, what elements should be present there. And one question I'm going to start with is, do you think we really need a separate pricing page for SaaS? Because there's been a rise of one-page websites maybe a couple years ago, and people would just stick their pricing grid inside the body of their homepage.
Well, I actually think there should be a dedicated pricing page in B2B, because mostly these typical users, they know where to find the pricing page. They are probably looking for a pricing page, and on a separate page, you have such more space to convince the user in buying your product. You can include a lot of stuff on a page, while on the home page, there is already so much going on, and you probably don't want to push another pricing grid on the page. Although, if you're in B2C, I think this could work, depending on the user flow. I think people are looking on the looking for the pricing on a home page.
Definitely, and not just that, but also SEO perspective demands that it's much better to have a structured page for each individual purpose. And from the conversion standpoint, just as you said, it's totally a no-brainer to have a separate pricing page, right?
Absolutely.
So on the pricing page, our goal for the page is to present the user with the pricing options and to convince them to convert. And how do you use the visual elements to do that?
Well, first of all, I think a pricing page should be simple. It should be very easy to understand and to know what the user will get when picking one of your pricing plans. So I would say simplicity in design is key on this page. Copy is, of course, very important. Make sure your pricing page copy is crystal clear. And try to overcome every uncertainties and doubts the user may have about your product.
What kind of visual elements can we use? So the most common one is the pricing grid itself. Let's talk about that.
Yes, I think it's one of maybe the most important visual element on the page.
So you should really do your best. So tell us about different visual aids you can use there. For example, one plan that is highlighted, something like mm-hmm. that.
Yes. Well, first, I know it's a common practice to highlight one typical plan, but I really don't believe in this practice because once you have defined your different buyer personas, and you clearly make it obvious to your potential customer what each package is about, then I think there's only one ideal package for your customer. So by adding a label recommended, you're making an easier choice for your visitors, but you might be missing out on potential upgrades or picking the wrong plan. You might leave money on the table because you assume that your customer is this type of person and needs these kind of features by highlighting recommended, but the truth can be very different. So mm-hmm. that being said, I don't believe in labeling recommended plans.
Interesting. So besides just labeling the word recommended, as you said, mm-hmm. most often, and I also do that, guilty as charged, is just highlighting one plan visually, which gives visuals. So it's not exactly recommended, but it shows kind of the most popular option and helps to visually structure the page and show like where the distribution happens of the customers.
Yes, I agree. When you label it like most popular, then you definitely put attention to this price pricing tier. So I think many studies have proven that when highlighting a plan, it gets more attention and it helps to anchor the other pricing plans. So it's definitely not a bad thing to do.
What about, so there are two ways to put your plans, from left to right, increasing the price or decreasing the price. Do you have any slight preference? Because more often than not, these days we can see the inverted pricing grid where you can see the enterprise plan on the left and the most affordable plan on the right.
Yes. I'm actually not sure. I'll trust when you say these days we see it more common, but I still see the more common way from low to high mm-hmm. pricing. And I read, I think a few months ago, I read a study from Conversion Excel, I think. I can look it up again, where they did a study and they highlighted one particular plan, the pro plan, I guess, and they ordered the plans from high to low and from low to high. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing was that when showing the plans from high to low, there was people stayed more on the page and looked more at the highlighted plan. So
interesting.
I need to look up I need to look it up again, but it was a very interesting approach. So
I'm going to look it up and sure. put in the show notes so that everybody can
Absolutely.
Read up on this.
Yes.
Interesting. As for myself as a user, when I arrive at the page like that, I feel tricked that they're,
yes, yes.
they're doing some kind of conversion trick on me. Like, I just want to see from and cheap to more expensive.
Yes, it is a psychological trick they do, actually. And I also believe in honest, simple pricing. So I prefer to put from low to high, actually.
Mm-hmm. So usually the structure goes like giving a name to the plan, then putting down the price, and then including the features. And those feature lists, they vary dramatically. Sometimes it's just a few, but sometimes the list can go as long as, I don't know, a few pages down. Do you have a preference among those?
Oh, absolutely. I hate it when they put all the features in the grid. As a potential customer, I'm not looking for all the features. What I'm looking for is an easy way to compare each plan. And more likely, I'm looking for the features I care about, so the really valued features. So putting every single feature in the grid is not a good thing, I believe, but rather use the features that you as a person really value. And you can put a link at the bottom of the table and then point to a full comparison of all the packages. But I wouldn't do it in the grid itself on top of the page.
Mm-hmm. There are some edge cases in the pricing grid. So one edge case is the high volume enterprise plan. And the other edge case, sometimes I can see that the SaaS product has a very low low price for example, a freelancer plan that they don't want to include at all, but they still do have it. Primarily because a lot of people are on it and also because they want to keep it available, but not visible. So they just include it in the link below the page instead of making a separate column for that.
Yes.
Do you think it's a great practice?
I'm not sure. And I think Basecamp does it as well. There is somewhere a link on their page for a free plan. Mostly limited in certain features. I'm not sure about this practice. I can't say, I can't back it up with data or stuff like that. So I'm not sure.
Do you recall any pricing pages in your practice that not necessarily designed by you, but something that you saw that struck you as specifically original, that breaks the strategy of regular grid?
Well, there's a common shift in SaaS companies these days, I think, when we typically have the tiered options, the pricing grid. But I see a lot of companies shifting from one size fits all approach to a more custom approach, to a feature a la carte approach.
Uh-huh.
One example is, I think, Zendesk is a good example. Typically, these companies are multi-product companies, but basically, you can shop for different features in a certain product. I also think HubSpot has it, where you can pick a product. Then you choose your plan, free or starter, and then you can start shopping around and add stuff like premium services or add-ons and stuff like that. So I think that's a new way in pricing SaaS and then probably a challenging thing for us as designers.
Oh, yes, totally. I should say that Intercom is probably among those as well.
They have. Yes, Intercom as well. Yep.
Intercom's Absolutely. Pricing is a special... It deserves a special episode, probably, because...
Yes, I think so.
Because they hide it entirely, and then you have, like, different slider options, and you can never predict, like, how much it will cost until you get started.
No.
Seriously.
And I think they also shifted to using use cases, recommended use cases, where they present... different combined bundles, so you can use their product messages and inbox, and then they're a complex pricing strategy going on there.
Yes, definitely. Well, just judging by feedback from my fellow founders, that does not sound like a fantastic practice, even though it might work great for their business.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. It's difficult to understand.
So another technique that we need on pricing pages is to... So just declaring the price never works. You should anchor it to value. And to do that, we use different different tips and tricks. So could you recommend our listeners something around that?
Well, I really think you should design your pricing page anchored with the value metric in the center. And I know... Patrick Campbell, he's mentioned multiple times in the show. He is a huge advocate of the value metric as well. And I really think when it comes to visual design in your pricing grid, make it really obvious what the value metric is. So highlight it, emphasize it using white space, using typography, put it in bold, and then separate it from the other features.
Mm-hmm. What about annual versus monthly pricing?
Mm-hmm. Well, the common practice in annual versus monthly is to have the annual option as a default. I think it's a good practice, and because, of course, you would like your customers to pay upfront for 1 year. But I always try to be honest and clearly state it in the pricing grid below the price that, okay, you'll pay this amount of money, but only when you agree to an annual contract. So this is the price you pay when paid annually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really depends on your strategy. Sometimes as a user,
absolutely,
I would prefer that they would mention the higher prices, but I guess it's certainly in the business's interest.
Yes, what and about... it comes down to user research, I think.
Definitely. What about calls to action? So,
yes.
as a designer, I always struggle with just placing one call to action below, saying like "start your free trial here," or having a little call to action for each individual column.
Yes. Well, it depends on your strategy as well. And both can work, I think. Typically, I think most common is that you show a call to action below each pricing tier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the best way to do it. And it really depends on the strategy and then the users, your ideal customers, I think.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit more about things that can help us eliminate objections, which are testimonials and FAQs. Do they deserve their own place on the pricing page?
Absolutely. I think you should overcome these objections. And building trust is a huge thing on a pricing page. This is the page where people, where pricing, where money is involved. So trust is a big key on this page. So adding social proof in the form of testimonials, brand logos, I would definitely recommend. As a human being, we tend to put greater value on things that already has been approved by others. So I highly recommend to add some social proof on the page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just generally speaking, when you place testimonials on your client websites, do you usually have like a grid of different testimonials, or do you strategically pick just one?
I don't think you need multiple on the pricing page because you want to keep focus on the actual thing you're trying to do on the page, which is explaining the pricing and then getting users to convert or prospects to convert. So I would say one or two testimonials on the pricing page is fine.
Throughout your professional career, have you faced any challenging situations when it comes to designing pricing pages?
Well, The most challenging thing is what I talked before is when you have multiple products and you need to price each product. And there's a lot going on then. So I think having separated pricing pages for each product is a must, because I've been in a situation where I needed to design the pricing page of a multi-product company. And, well, it was a challenging thing. So, yeah.
So did you finally split it into several, or how did you get out of the situation? Okay.
Yeah, I think for each product, we had a separate pricing page where we explained the different tiers in each product pricing page.
Yeah, we also had a use case like that. So CartHook is one of my clients, and they have several products. And we faced all of these challenges, and we arrived at the conclusion that for each product, there should be a homepage, a features page, and a pricing page as well, because it's really hard. And great examples to follow there are support platforms like Zencastr, Zendesk. They're solving that really hard, and a few others, yes. And Intercom, for example, and they all arrive at the solution of having multiple pages.
Yeah, I think HubSpot, they are able to do it on one page, I think, but they're using multiple tabs on top of the page. So it's also a way to do it, at least if you keep your focus on one product. I think there are different ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. Are there any common mistakes that you see people making while designing their pricing pages, besides just not having one?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've talked about it before. So the long feature-focused pricing grid, get rid of that and just focus on the core features that are important to your users. Highlighting features rather than benefits. So I always prefer to focus on the benefits. I think MailChimp is a good example of focusing on benefits. I think when you open their pricing page, they really tell the prospect, okay, this is what you'll get, this is the value you get, and I really like that approach. Another thing, not as big, is missing a currency. I think you really need to be able to switch between currency, because when you land on a page and you see the euro sign, but you're in the US, I think there's a little bit of friction you create, and you can easily change that by just updating the currency symbol. I remember there was a case study on Litmus, I think, and they saw a 5x increase in conversion just by changing their pricing from euros or dollars. And that can be a huge thing for a company like Litmus.
Absolutely. But typically, just having a price in euros isn't really common practice in SaaS. So you either have everything in dollars forever, or you strive for variables between, you know, pounds, dollars, and euros. It's not like you usually just stick to one if it's not dollars.
Yes. Most likely you give your visitors the option to change the currency using tabs or using a plain link, and then it updates the currency. It updates, sometimes you see it updates the pricing as well using an app, an exchange rate app, and then they'll update the pricing as well. That's a little bit tricky, I think, in terms of localization, and you definitely should know what you're doing or talking with an expert on this.
Definitely. We had an episode here in the podcast with Ed Freifogel of OpenCage Data, and we had a lot of conversations about that. And, you know, advice really varies because you also have an accounting aspect that from accounting standpoint, whatever you charge people might be dynamic exchange at one point of time, might be completely different ratio at another point of time. And how does that relate to your to your billing? So that's we're not going to talk about that now.
Yes,
but do think about it. But do think about it.
yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. Do you usually include like a fallback marketing call to action at the end of a pricing page, or do you prefer to just keep it as clean as possible to optimize conversions?
I prefer to keep it as simple and then optimized as possible. So no, I most of the time I include call to action close to the pricing tiers.
Mm-hmm. What about if your call to action is the same for all, if the same for everyone, which is like start a free trial? Any recommendations for that?
I think when you have the same call to action for each pricing tier, then I think one primary call to action should work.
Mm-hmm. Any other inspiring advice for people who are, you know, intimidated by designing their pricing pages?
Well, my advice is definitely learn more about your current customer base. Reach out to your users, ask different questions, try to identify which features they value, and do a lot of research on that. And then once you know your customers, it's much easier to design your pricing page. And I'm not talking about the visual design perspective only. So visual design is just a little key part of the entire process.
Absolutely. I see you have read a ton of case studies and resources. So maybe you could recommend your favorite blogs that will help our users in this area.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm really enjoying the podcast from Patrick Campbell and Peter Zotto, which is called Pricing Teardowns.
Mm-hmm.
He also... the people behind Price Intelligently, so Patrick, he also has a free ebook on pricing, I believe, which is called The Anatomy of a SaaS Pricing Strategy.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely a good read as well. Then there is Open View Partners. They have a lot of good articles on pricing, not typically on design, but the strategy on pricing strategy in general. There's one article that has been updated recently about different SaaS pricing resources. I'll share the link with the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I'm also curating content on SaaSresources.com. And we have a topic with about pricing, and there you'll find a few good articles on pricing as well.
Great. So now we're fluidly moving on to my next question, is where people can find you and your work online.
Yes. People can find me on Twitter. And people can always reach out to me by email. And I'm also happy to set up a quick chat or call and review their pricing page if they have questions about pricing, and or even if they just want to know, is my pricing page optimized for conversion, or what can I improve? They definitely can reach out to me, and I'm always happy to help.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Rob, for all the insights and for sharing your wisdom today. And I hope it helps our SaaS founder audience be more decisive about their pricing pages.
I hope so too.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Have a great day. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. It will help other people discover this podcast.